listening to the Apollo Podcast Network. One.
Get ready to launch yourself into the latest rocket news. You are listening to the Launchpad Podcast, presented by Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. I am your host, LaShara Binkley. I am a contributor for Space City Scoop, The Dream Shake, and of course, you can find me on Twitter at HTownForLife40, all caps. Be sure to follow the official Apollo Media account at Apollo, H-O-U, that's Apollo, H-O-U is all capital, as well as hitting the subscribe button on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. We will greatly appreciate it. And a side note here, we are actually credentialed to cover Astros games and all University of Houston sports. So that's definitely exciting news. And hopefully we keep our fingers crossed. Hopefully eventually that also will entail being able to cover Houston Rockets game. We would definitely let you know when that happens. But that's definitely some exciting news we want to let all of our listeners know. So on today's episode, we're actually going to be solo today. I think this is actually the second time I've actually done a solo podcast. So, of course, it probably won't be an hour and a half like usually my podcasts are. This one will be a little bit shorter. But in today's first segment, we're going to actually talk about some of the recent Rockets news. Of course, my cohort, Taylor Pate, actually talked about this on the last podcast. But I'm going to give my thoughts on the whole John Wall situation. Also, it was an article released today from Kelly Eco. Talking about Eric Gordon and where he finds his place with the Rockets right now. And, of course, you know, we got the usual normal news going on around this time of year, talking about training camp and some of the people that the Rockets just added on, Dante Exum. And also I'm going to be giving my thoughts on Steve Francis possibly jumping into the broadcasting booth this upcoming season. And also in the second segment, we're going to be talking about of course, some of the false narrative that's been floating around forever about the Rockets, but specifically about these Rockets. And, you know, recently on PTI and some other talking head sports shows, they were discussing the Rockets and throwing around a lot of false stuff and just false stuff about John Wall, as in general, that I'm going to debunk today on today's episode. And also in the final segment, I'm just going to break down what the starting lineup could look like now that the Rockets are actually moving forward without John Wall and moving forward with Kevin Porter Jr. at the point guard position. So I'll be breaking that down in the third segment. So we're actually going to go ahead and kick it off today. Excuse me. In this first segment, we're going to be talking about, like I said, the John Wall news, Eric Gordon, and a little bit about Dante Exum. So to start off with the John Wall news, as you all know by now, John Wall and Houston Rockets have reached an agreement that John Wall will sit out. Not necessarily the entire year. That hasn't really been discussed on what's the actual time frame, but definitely in the near future, he's going to be sitting out and making way for Kevin Porter Jr. to take over that point guard position. The Rockets are going to look to possibly trade him or buy him out. And I'm actually going to discuss why buying him out is almost impossible this year. And it's already kind of been brought up by some sources saying that John Wall won't be giving back the amount of money that it would take for a buyout. Also talking about trading John Wall. So the problem with trading John Wall right now is that we've already passed free agency for the most part. Teams have already spent all their monies. I think it's only one team left that has any money left, and that's the Oklahoma City Thunder. And they are, when you bring up tanking, you ought to talk about Oklahoma City Thunder. The Rockets don't tank on purpose. If they lose, they're just losing because they're just not good enough to win. But the Oklahoma City Thunder full out tank mode last year, and they're probably going to be in tank mode this year. They set Al Horford, even though he was completely healthy for the entire season. They set out a lot of their other players, Gilgeous Alexander. They basically didn't play any of their starters last year. Lou Dort, they were going all in on tanking. I think they're going to do that again this year. So they're the only team with any actually cap space. So I don't see any reason why they would want to bring in John Wall at 40 plus million a year over the next 2 years. That's not an option. I mean, there's some other teams. I mean, I've been hearing the Clippers float around as a possible team that could take on his contract. But again, he still has those 2 year 90 plus million. And if you're a Clippers, not that John Wall's a bad player, but he is past his prime. I mean, let's be honest, he's in his 30s, coming off major surgeries, and they're going to be without Kawhi Leonard for a while this year. So they may think to themselves, why will we hamstring ourselves with a 2-year, $90-plus million contract when we're probably not going to win this year anyway, unless Kawhi Leonard can somehow come back by the end of the year. Even still, a lineup of John Wall, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George, I don't think that team is still good enough to be one of the, you know, upper echelon teams, like beat the Lakers at health, at full health, and maybe even the Denver Nuggets, teams like that. I still don't think they will be good enough to come out of the West. So they're probably thinking to themselves, why would we, you know, put our money into a player like John Wall, who is good, is still one of the, you know, fastest players in the league, even with the injuries. But like I said, he is 30-plus years old. He has come off a lot of injuries. He only played 40 games last year. So they may think to just hold pat and just see what happens with Kawhi Leonard. But like I was saying earlier, John Wall is still a good player. I know there's been a lot of talk about how John Wall is, you know, completely fell off and he's a scrub and he's this and that. He's not a bad player. He can really help a good team. He could help the Clippers, but the problem always comes back to is that contract. So you have to find a team that will be willing to take on that amount of contract and the risk that comes with it. And then the problem you also run into is with teams having no cap space, you're going to have to take on those teams' bad contracts. Hopefully they'll be a lesser years, because they're not going to probably give you a young up-and-coming player. Even if they could, since he is a young player, his contract is going to be well below the $40 million that John Wall is making. So you're going to have to at some point take back a player like a Serge Ibaka or a Luke Kennard, who, you know, is an older player, but he's still making $15 to $17, $18 million a year over the next 3 or 4 years. I mean, do you really want to do that? I think that you wait, especially since John Wall seems for now to be fine with sitting out at least the first part of the year. You're not in a big rush to make any moves. You need to see exactly what you have in the players that you have already before you try to bring in any other big name players or any other players that are going to eat up a lot of minutes. Like, for instance, a Ben Simmons. Like, I don't know if that's really the best thing is to try to bring in a Ben Simmons at this point, considering that you need to see exactly what you have with the, you know, players like KPJ. And, I mean, I think you kind of have a good idea what you're going to have with Jalen Green, but you need to see players like Kenyon Martin Jr., what you got from Jayshon Tate, even Christian Wood. You need to see if he's going to be a franchise-type player that you're going to keep beyond, you know, his contract being up in the next couple of years. You need to see what you got in Josh Christopher. You need to see what you got in Alperen Sengun. You need to see what you got in all these rookies, Usman Garuba. You need to find out if these players are going to be players that can be part of your team, a contending team in the next maybe 2 or 3 years when you're ready to contend with the top teams in the league. So I just think that this year is an audition year. You need to see what you got before you go out and try to make major trades. Like, if you're bringing in Ben Simmons, they're not going to give you Ben Simmons for just John Wall and maybe some other players. They're going to be asking for, you know, Daryl Morey is going to be asking for some draft capital on top of that. And I just don't see the reason why you want to do that right now. You need to wait and find out before you get into bringing in other type of players like that. The other news that kind of also broke, not really broke, but came out today, was an article by Kelly Eco of Athletic talking with Eric Gordon, who, you know, he mentioned an article that he doesn't really know necessarily where his place is with this team, just because it is a rebuilding team. He's an older player. I mean, it's kind of writing is on the wall as far as, I know the Rockets say publicly they want him back, but the writing's kind of on the wall where he's kind of in the PJ Tucker situation where, honestly, he's done the right things. He said the right things. If you look at Eric Gordon, to me, he's the type of player you want to do right by, and you want to get him on a contending team, just because, you know, yes, he's had his injuries, and yes, he's struggled, but he hasn't been a problem since he's been here with the Rockets. There haven't been any off-court issues. There haven't been any on-court issues. He just goes out there and plays when he can play, and he plays hard. And I mean, a lot of those playoff series the last couple, 2 or 3 years when Harden was here, honestly, in a lot of playoff, some of the playoff series, he was the second best player on the court. I mean, some of them Golden State series, especially last year of Chris Paul being here, he was the second best player on the court. He was actually better than Chris Paul in 2019. So I just think that he could still help a team. I mean, go back and look at his stats. He was actually having a really good year. He's having a bounce back year after having his worst year the year before. He was having a bounce back year. He was like one of the best players in the league at getting to the basket. His shot was finally starting to get back to where it was. And then Steve was still playing some of the best perimeter defense on the team last year before he got hurt. Now, honestly, I think if he wouldn't have got hurt before the trade deadline, he probably would have already been traded, because I think there is value in trading for an Eric Gordon. I just think that teams now are looking at it as, well, we need to see exactly what he's going to be able to do on the court before we trade for him, because I know the Rockets were trying to trade him. Not that I know some inside information, but I think it's kind of why, you know, widely known that the Rockets were trying to trade him around draft time to see if they can get some other draft capital. Indiana was a team mentioned. I mean, there's other teams, because he has a manageable contract. He's only making around $17, $18 million a year, somewhere in that range. So I think it won't be that hard to move him after teams see that he's healthy and he's back. I think that he would be the one player that will be traded by the trade deadline, not because he's a bad player, but just because it's a John Wall situation all over again. He's 30-plus-year-old player who wants to be on a contending team, not a rebuilding team. So I just think that he's going to be probably one of the first players that they actually trade and move on. And I say it should be several contending teams, and the Rockets should be able to get either some young players back or possibly, you know, even more draft capital for upcoming years. So, I mean, I think that's what's pretty much going to happen with the Eric Gordon situation. He'll still play the first part of the year, probably may even be the sixth man again and possibly playing 15, 20 minutes a game, just so the Rockets can show that he is healthy and he is ready to contend or help a contending team. The other news that came out, not huge news, but some news that kind of surprised some Rockets fans, was Dante Exum signing with the Rockets for this upcoming training camp. I know a lot of Rockets fans were like, why in the world are they bringing in Dante Exum? A couple of reasons they probably did this. One reason, because the contract is easily – they can easily get out of that contract because it's a non-guaranteed contract with a lot of incentive built into it. But the Rockets have to pay a lot of money up front. But also, I'm sure the Rockets saw him during the Olympics, and he actually looked really healthy. He played really well in Australia's bronze medal game, where they actually beat Slovenia. They beat Slovenia and Luka Doncic, actually, to win the bronze medal, their first ever medal in the Olympics, even though that was a game that Patty Mills went crazy for 40-plus points. Dante Exum had a lot of great plays down the stretch. He actually guarded Luka a lot down the stretch. And if a lot of Rockets fans remember back in the when they were playing Utah in those playoff series, he actually played Harden pretty well before he got injured. He was actually playing Harden one-on-one. Even when the Rockets were trying to pick him off, he still would pick up Harden full court. And he actually played some really good defense. I mean, he has great size. He's 6 foot, 200-plus pounds, 6'5", 200-plus pounds. So, I mean, it's a low-risk, high-reward type of move. So even though it may be some other players that people were thinking about possibly Rockets bring in instead of giving that contract to Dante Exum, you bring him in, he's still fairly young. He's still, you know, in his mid-20s. So you bring him in, you see what he got, and if he doesn't work out, you can easily cut him. But I think that he could possibly be a player that could probably stick on the main roster. Maybe at the end of the bench you start with and you just kind of see what you got. But it'll be an interesting training camp because Rockets are already up to 20 players now. They're going to have some decisions to make. They have a lot of good young players. They brought in some other players and kind of see how it all works out. So we'll kind of see how that – because training camp is coming up real soon, so we'll see how all that works out here pretty soon. So in the next segment, we're going to actually break down some of the myths that's been going around about the Rockets, some of the bad press that they've been getting about the James Harden trade and how the team could possibly look this upcoming year, because the win total Vegas has put out is kind of low in my opinion. So we'll kind of break that down. And like I said, debunk some of the myths that are out there about this current Rockets team. So please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
in the near term, they are a disaster. They won't win 25 games. In the last 2 years now, who's gone? Harden is gone. They got nothing. Westbrook, they traded for Wall. And now, you know, and now Wall is gone. Now look what they've lost in just a year, year and a half or something like that. Wall is more complicated. I don't know what his value is. He's never won anything. He's grossly overpaid at this point in his career. He is injury prone at this point in his career. He spent last year saying he wanted to get out of Washington. Now he's saying he wants to get out of Houston. I don't know if he's a malcontent at this point.
No, he's not. He didn't say he wants to get out of Houston. In fact, he said he didn't want, he would work with whatever they wanted to do. And everybody there in Houston has said he's been great. So he's not a malcontent.
So as you hear there, that is PTI, the show that's been on probably far too long at this point. But that was Tony Kornheiser talking about the Rockets and how he feels that they are a total disaster. And they probably won't win more than 25 games. And to me, that kind of sums up just not PTI, but just the national media in general, not just when they talk about the Rockets, but when they talk about teams that they probably never watch or probably watch one time a year. They really don't know a lot about them. And, you know, kudos to Will Bond. He did correct him. I mean, because a couple of things about what Tony Kornheiser said. First off, the 25 win part, and to say they're a disaster, that shows me you haven't really been paying attention to the direction that Rafael Stone has taken his team since they traded away James Harden and Russell Westbrook. The team has actually, beyond the record, they actually are going in the right direction with bringing in players like Kevin Porter Jr. for a second round pick that would never be conveyed. Bringing in players like a Jayshon Tate, which every single team passed on him a few years ago in the draft, and they bring him from Australia League. Bringing in a player like Kenyon Martin Jr. that no one else was even thinking about, and that they actually traded into the second round to be able to pick up a Kenyon Martin Jr., who was actually one of the better rookies in the last month of the season last year. I mean, he was shooting close to 40% from three-point range in the last month of the season, along with being one of the best weak side shot blockers, you know, in the entire NBA, not just among rookies, with a lot of highlight shot blocks against several 7-foot centers in the league. So you can't just say that the Rockets are a disaster. To me, that's just you saying that because you have no idea the inner workings of how the Rockets are actually being ran the last several months. That's just you just looking on the outside, looking in and not actually breaking down what the Rockets have actually done. I can probably guess that Tony Kornheiser has probably spent in the last couple months thinking about the Rockets maybe 5 minutes, if that. He probably didn't even prepare for this show to even look at who some of the players they brought in. He's just going off of looking at the record and then them trading James Harden, and, well, they're a disaster. He didn't actually break down actual data, actual players that they brought in, the actual player development that they've had. The draft picks that they have in the future, looking at this rookie draft class that was probably the best rookie draft class out of any team in the league. He didn't look at any of that. So that kind of sums up how the national media is, especially now that James Harden is not – even when James Harden was here, it was a lot of false narratives. But it's even worse now because they're not even paying attention to the Rockets at all. So they're just going off of maybe one or two clips that they may have seen or a story they may have seen here and there. They're not actually doing any actual research, because if they did, you would also know that John Wall didn't actually ask to be out of Houston. He's not a malcontent. It was actually a situation where two sides saw the writing on the wall. They actually saw that John Wall knows he doesn't want to come off the bench, and the Rockets don't think, even if he did want to come off the bench, that it would be beneficial for him coming off the bench, and it wouldn't be beneficial for him starting. So they actually came in an agreement together. That's like far from a malcontent. And if you talk to anybody, Wizards writers, Wizards players he's played with, people that follow the Wizards forever, you probably won't find anybody that says John Wall is a malcontent, even here in Houston. I mean, I know the Rockets had the worst record in the league last year, but to say he was a malcontent, it's just crazy. I don't remember any issues he had off court, any issues he had on court. Could he have been better at some point? Was he inefficient at the time last year? Yes, but he was coming off two major surgeries, hadn't played in 2 years, and still averaged over 20 points a game. and still have actually have, you know, several games where he looked like the old John Wall. He was the leader of the team. He stepped up. I mean, it was a horrible situation for everybody, but he stepped up. He never shied away from the attention. And I have nothing but respect for John Wall. I actually don't have a lot of negative things to say about him because you can't really take a lot from last year. You can't really look at last year and say, well, this player didn't do this, this player didn't do that, because it was a season where the Rockets had played 30-plus lineups, probably had 40 or 50 different players come in and out of the system last year. They didn't have any cohesion. Coach Sauer wasn't really able to run any of his actual offense because he didn't know from one game to another who's actually going to be there. So I don't really take anything as far as gameplay or how somebody played away from last year. I just know when John Wall was on the court, he played hard. He actually played really good defense last year. The chemistry may have been off because a lot of these players never play together. You can't just go out and roll the ball out and expect players to play well without actually having any time playing together. So I don't take anything from last year. So to say he's a malcontent is totally false. To say he wanted out of Houston was totally false. So that's one rumor or one thing that was said in national media. There's been plenty of others, as we all know. Another thing I actually want to talk about, which I actually just mentioned a little bit before, was the win-loss total that's been coming out a lot of the Vegas books and so-called experts and pundits on ESPNs and different places that over under on Rockets wins next year, they were saying is around 25 games. Some even saying less than that. Me personally, I think the high water mark for the next year for the Rockets would be 35. That may be pushing it a little bit because that's going to be dependent on a lot from a lot of young players that have never played in the league. It's not necessarily that the Rockets don't have the talent to win. It's just that in the NBA, experience does matter. It's not 2K. You can't just roll the ball out there with a bunch of 20-year-olds and expect that you're going to go out and compete for a championship. That's just not the way it works. But I think that with players like Christian Wood, who has been in the league for several years, Jayshon Tate is still fairly young in NBA years, but he's played all over the world. He's played in a lot of competitive situations. Same thing with Alperen Şengün. He's played in a lot of, you know, tense situations. So yes, he's a rookie in name, but he's played in a lot of big games. Even Jalen Green playing in the G League last year, playing against a lot of professionals. So he wasn't playing against college players or just coming in as a rookie and not actually playing against any top level competition. So yes, he's a rookie, but he's going to be hitting the floor running from day one. So to say the Rockets have no chance of winning more than 25 games, you know, to me, that's kind of crazy. Will they win 40, 45 games? Probably not. Will they make the playoffs? It's a long shot, but with the play-in game now, it's not out of the realm of possibility that the Rockets can be one of the top 10 teams in the league. They'll probably be competing for that 10th spot at best. And if they do that, me personally, and this has been talked about a lot, would you rather the team tank or just be bad enough to where they get another high draft pick, or would you rather compete for a playoff? And maybe I'm just old school. I would rather them actually compete for a play-in, playoff spot type game, because I think in the long run that helps you a lot more than being bad for another year and then hoping that that draft pick that you get actually pans out, because they don't always pan out, as we know. And also you have to factor in Coach Tyler is not trying to lose a bunch of games again this year. Is he on the hot seat? No, but he doesn't want to get to that point where they're the worst team again next year. And then the following year, he will be on the hot seat to win when you have another high draft pick. So I'm sure he's not coaching his player to say, well, we want to lose. We want to be one of the worst teams in the league again so that we can go out and get a high draft pick. I don't think any of the players really care about that. They're trying to go out there and win. So I say, right now, as we speak on September 17th, a few weeks before training camp start, I actually have the Rockets winning between 30 and 35 games next year. Will that be good enough for the play-in game? We don't know yet because we don't know how the other teams are going to pan out, but you only have to be better than four other teams. And to say that they can't be better than Sacramento or even San Antonio at this point, because San Antonio is going to take a step back. Minnesota, that's going to be a toss-up whether they'll be better than them. They can be better than Sacramento because Luke Walton is still their coach, by the way. So they can easily be a top 10 team, the number 10 seed playing in that playing game to see if they can make it to the playoffs. I wouldn't be shocked by that. Honestly, I would be more shocked if they were the worst team in the league again this year. I'd be more shocked by that than them actually being the number 10 seed. So I think that they still have a chance to, like I said, win between 30, 35 games next year. So we'll kind of see how that all plays out. In the final segment, I want to actually discuss what the starting lineup is going to look like coming up, the rotation, now that we know that John Wall won't be in that rotation, how it's going to look for this upcoming season, and some of the players that may actually surprise a lot of Rockets fans upcoming season. So please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
And continue here on the Launchpad Podcast presented by Apollo Media. If you enjoy the show, do us a favor and drop a review or leave us some stars. And in this final segment, I'm going to break down the Rockets' upcoming training camp roster, where they're actually officially at 20 players now, and kind of give you who I think that will be starting in this upcoming season, how the rotation may play out, and some players that actually may surprise you in this upcoming training camp that may stick out that a lot of people may not be discussing. So I kind of want to start with the training camp roster that's coming up. So the Rockets, like I said, are at around 20 players now. They with them bringing in Dante Exum in the last couple of days. So I'm going to run down the roster really quick here. So you have John Wall, DJ Augustine. You have Armoni Brooks, Kevin Porter Jr., Eric Gordon, Josh Christopher, Kyrie Thomas, Tyler Bay, Jalen Green, Jay Sean Tate, Daniel House, Anthony Lamb, David Nwaba, Daniel Tice. That's Tice, not Thies. KJ Martin Jr., Uzma Garuba, Matthew Hurt. And like I said earlier, they also brought in Dante Exum. And, of course, you have Christian Wood and Aperin Şengün to round out the training camp roster that will be starting up here in a few weeks. And a couple of players, before I get into the starting lineup, a couple of players I think actually may surprise some people in training camp and possibly in the preseason if they make the preseason roster. One player is Tyler Bay, who actually didn't play a lot last year. He only played 1 year so far in the NBA. He didn't play a lot for Dallas Mavericks last year. He's a combo forward. He's 6'7". He's a really good defensive player. That's probably actually his best trait at this point of his, is his defense ability to be able to guard players 1 through 5. He can get to the basket, needs to improve his shot like most young players do, because he shot a pretty low percentage last year from the 3-point range. But I think he's a player that kind of fits into the young player mode of the Rockets, who really want, I mean, Coach Hollis just said it. He said it a lot last year. He said it already in some interviews this year. He wants to get up and down the court and really push the pace, because that's one thing, if you're a young team, that you can do no matter how much experience you have, is get up and down the court. You don't have to run a bunch of sets. You don't have to run a bunch of pick and rolls or backdoor cuts or running players off of screens and, you know, constantly trying to go up against another team's defense. If you push the ball off the court, you get the rebound, push the ball off the court, you can actually catch a lot of teams off guards. And I think that would help the young Rockets. Don't have to worry about running a bunch of sets with a bunch of inexperienced players that are still trying to, you know, get their feet wet in the NBA. So I think Tyler Bay is a player that will definitely stick out in this, you know, upcoming training camp. Armoni Brooks is another one. I just think that his experience playing in the G League with several different teams, we saw in the last G League game where he was just crazy from 3-point range. If I'm not mistaken, he made 9 or 10 three-pointers. He helped the Rockets come back in that final G League game. Summer League game, where they came back and won their final Summer League game before it wrapped up. So I think he's a player that the one thing he needs to, of course, improve on is his shot off the dribble. He's probably their, if not their best, one of their best 3-point shooters on the team already, coming off of picks. But if he can improve his game off the dribble, getting to the basket, you know, getting in the right positions, playing better defense, I think he's another player that can kind of stick out in this upcoming training camp that may actually stick on the permanent roster, because you can never have too much shooting. And I think that's the one thing the Rockets are still lacking. I mean, you have Eric Gordon, but we don't know how long he's going to be on the team. Kevin Porter Jr. only shot 31% from 3-point range last year. The last month that he actually played, it did improve, but he's going to have to improve on that. Jay Sean Tate got better throughout the year, but he's going to have to improve on his 3-point shooting. We all know that Kenyon Martin Jr., he started off this season, he was struggling, but, you know, the last couple of months, he was shooting, like I said, close to 40% from three-point range. So if that can continue, that'll be great. But you still, you need more shooting on the team. You have players that can get to the basket that are very athletic, that can run the court, but you're going to need more shooting. Even on a rebuilding team, I know a team that's not competing for a championship, but you still need shooting to be able to spread out the court so that players like Kevin Porter Jr., players like Jalen Green are going to be able to get to the basket and have room to operate, because teams are going to sag in the paint and make you beat them from the outside. And until you show that you can do that, they're going to continue to sag in the paint. So to be able to do that, you got to have shooters. And I think Armoni Brooks can be one of those players that can help them spread out the court. Another player that I think, you know, that's going to stand out that a lot of people may not be talking about a lot right now, I think that's, like I said, Khyri Thomas. Even though he is older compared to a lot of the other Rockets players, he's 25 years old. But we saw in the 5-6 games he played before he got hurt at the end of last year, I mean, he's great on the defensive end. He's actually something I didn't realize, that he was his ability to get to the basket. He made a lot of acrobatic shots at the basket, was getting past everybody that was trying to guard him. He was able to get to the rim, finish at the basket. And like I said, his defense, I mean, that's what he was known for in college, was his defense. He's able to guard any guard, a forward, full court, 94 feet. And I think that's another thing that the Rockets can always use, is more defensive-minded type players. So I think he's another player that I know is kind of an afterthought now with some of the other guards the Rockets have brought in. But he's another player that's, you know, been around. He's played, you know, he's already in his third NBA season. So he knows the ins and outs of the NBA. So he's another player I think that can really stick out in this upcoming season that people need to keep their eye on. The starting lineup that I think that the Rockets are going to go with, I know a lot of people have been saying that Daniel Theis is kind of already implanting himself as a center on the team. But I think that it's going to depend on the matchups. Because if the team that they're playing against is playing a small ball center, then they may actually go with Christian Wood still at the center position, and they may go with KJ Martin, Kenyon Martin Jr. at power forward. But for the most part, I think that when they're going up against teams like Denver with Jokic and Philadelphia with Joel Embiid, that they'll go with Daniel Theis as center, because they don't want Christian Wood trying to bang down there with bigger centers. We saw that win last year. That's just not his game. He's more of a weak side defender. He's more of a guy that can guard players out on the perimeter, as far as bigger guys out on the perimeter. So I think that they will go with the John. I was about to say John Wall. They almost got me. I think they're going to go with KPJ. They'll go with, of course, Jalen Green as shooting guard. Then you got Jayshon Tate as small forward, and then Christian Wood and Daniel Theis. And it's like I said, at times, KJ Martin may slide over at the point power forward position if they need to go with a smaller lineup. And like I said, it's going to be a fluid situation just depending on who they're playing throughout the year. So they may, like I said, switch out Daniel Theis, switch out. Maybe at times they even go with David Nwaba. I think, like I said, it's a fluid situation. So I don't think that they're going to be set in stone on who's going to be playing that center position. You know the four players that for sure are going to be on the court. It's going to be, like I said, KPJ. It's going to be Jalen Green. It's going to be Jayshon Tate, Christian Wood. Those players are going to be set in a starting line regardless. It's just going to flip-flop depending on who is in line with them. Is it Daniel Theis? Is it KJ Martin? And then you also have to look at who's going to be playing at the end of the games. That may flip-flop as well, just depending on the situation. So that's just something to keep in mind going forward into this season. As far as a rotation, I know a lot of people are not crazy about Daniel House because he's, you know, he makes his music and he wouldn't give up his number, which I think was just crazy anyway. And I'm glad that he explained to everybody why he wasn't willing to give up his number, even though he really didn't need to. He's been in the league a lot longer than Jalen Green, so that should have ended it right there. But I think Daniel House can still contribute on his team. I mean, he's still fairly young. He can still give you good defense. He's still one of the better players to get into the rim. He's still a streaky shooter, but when he's on, he can still get, you know, hit shots. He was hurt last year. I think he can still contribute for this team. I know a lot of people are thinking about him getting traded and things like that, but I think he could still be one of the top 8-9 players that they play in their rotation. Also, you still have David Nwaba. He's going to be in the rotation. And people forgetting he still have DJ Augustin at this point. Now, he may get traded just because he's another one of those veterans that's in his 30s. He's 33 years old that can probably play for a contender. I mean, he definitely can help a contender. I mean, for sure. So he'll probably maybe get traded before the trade deadline. But at this point, he's still here. So he's going to be the backup point guard going into the season. Where it gets tricky is when you start talking about players like a Josh Christopher, Alperen Şengün, Uzma Garuba. When you start talking about, you know, the rookies, will they be on the opening night roster or will they be in the G League? I think Alperen Şengün is probably going to be on the opening night roster. Uzma Garuba needs more playing time, so I can see him going down and playing the Rio Grande Valley with the Vipers. Josh Christopher is an interesting one. I think talent-wise, he should probably be on the roster, but he may get squeezed out in a numbers game. Because if you still have, if you still have players like Daniel House, you still have Eric Gordon, who has to get minutes at the beginning of the season at least, I can see Josh Christopher bouncing back and forth depending on injuries, depending on who's in the lineup. And that's not to say anything against his talent. That's just so that he can get playing time. But I think, of course, by the end of the year, after trade deadline, after they probably trade away Eric Gordon, maybe DJ Augustin, I can see him being on the roster going forward, especially depending on how the season plays out. If they're struggling to win games and they're kind of already out of the playoff picture, I can see Josh Christopher getting a ton of playing time along with the other younger guys. So it's going to depend on how the season plays out. But I wouldn't be shocked if he's with the G League team at the beginning of the year. But like I said, as the year goes on, he'll be back on a regular roster. And I think he'll definitely help contribute because, you know, he showed that he's one of the better on-ball defenders the Rockets have and getting to the basket. Just like I said, like any other young player, he has to improve on his outside shot. But he has the tools to be able to be one of the better players on the break, getting to the basket, and be able to guard the other player's best wing player or guard. So I think he'll still have a spot on the upcoming roster. So that's going to kind of do it for today's episode. Like I said, it's going to be interesting talking about the upcoming training camp and talking about, you know, how it's going to play out with John Wall and how long he's going to be here, if they're going to be able to buy him out, things like that. So it's just something to keep in mind with this upcoming season. And we will definitely be covering all here at the Launchpad Podcast. So like I said, that's going to do it for today's episode. So if you haven't already done so, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. And be sure to follow at Apollo HOU for blogs, merch, video, podcasts, and more original Houston sports content not found anywhere else. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back for our next episode of Launchpad Podcast covering your Houston Rockets.